across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Welcome back, Central Florida. We've missed you. Lair Adams for the American Adversaries Drive Time on News Talk 660 WORL. And just how great was your Memorial Day holiday? Got to tell you couldn't have bought better weather. Although we Floridians know when it comes to the weather, you have to take the good with the bad. You know, when you think about it, that's the same way with politics. And right now, America's having to choke down a lot of bad, and it's giving our nation one heck of a bellyache. However, tonight, we're going to take a look at events happening a little closer to home. And to tell us all about it, my co-host is here, fresh from Memorial Day debauchery, Christopher Hart!
Oh, thank you so much there, Lair Adams, and thank you folks for being with us this afternoon. We are the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time, and once again, we are back, and we are live.
And tell them all about the debauchery there.
Well,
first of all,
I'd just like to disagree with you that it's not giving the nation a bellyache, or if it is, it's also giving it something else. Heartburn! Get it? Heartburn.
Okay.
And I'm going to keep burning that Obama until he's gone or until his tail is finally lit up and he gets some sense in his head and in his policies. Anyway, folks, once again, thanks for being with us. We did take Memorial Day off. I hope you had a chance to catch our Memorial Day special, which was actually on Sunday night. Got a lot of great comments about the show. I want to thank everybody for that. And if you did happen to miss it, or if you just would like to hear it again, you can go to iTunes and find it. Just type in or search for American Adversaries. And if you will, while you're there, hit the subscribe key, and you'll get all of our shows. And we're in the process of building back up our inventory there, so you'll be able to catch a lot of our great shows that we have already put in the can, so to speak. Okay, folks. Today we're going to have Abe Katzman, our man from Jerusalem, join us in the second segment of the show. There's some stuff going on over there in Syria, not the least of which John McCain showed up on the border of Syria and Turkey and actually ventured a little ways into Syria to talk to some of the Syrian rebels face-to-face. And we'll talk about that with Abe Katzman. But in the meantime, and after Abe leaves us tonight, we're going to be talking with Jeff Doughty. Now, if you missed our show last Wednesday, you missed the fact that Jeff Doughty is going to be our expert on the Zimmerman case. Jeff Doughty is a very prominent and successful, highly successful criminal defense attorney here in Central Florida. He's handled some very high-profile cases, everything from biker gang cases to lovers killing one another. I mean, and he's certified to handle death row cases, death penalty cases, capital punishment. I know that's not going to be a factor in this Zimmerman case. However, being with all the credentials that he has, I can think of no one better to help us understand what's going on in Sanford as this trial progresses than Jeff Doughty. Thanks, Jeff, for being with us.
Thank you very much, Chris.
And today was a big day in this case. I want to get into the nuts and the details later on in the show. But first, just tell our audience what transpired today and what was the mood, so to speak, in the courtroom.
Well, it was a tough day for the defense. Basically, there was about 22 pretrial motions that were held. Most notably was the defense requested a continuance, which was shot down by Judge Nelson. There's not going to be a continuance. It's still scheduled to start June the 10th. The other major development was is that the defense is not going to be able to introduce any type of evidence concerning Trayvon Martin's school records, his previous alleged fights, propensity to fight, and the marijuana use is still subject to introduction, but it doesn't look like that's going to come in either. But that was a major hit. There was also some expert testimony that was tried to be given. The defense is complaining about one state expert, a voice analysis expert, Tom Owens. He wants $3,300 to give his deposition, which the defense claims they don't have. So far, it was a tough day for the defense, but it looks like everything's set for June the 10th.
What was the mood in the courtroom? Was it more congenial than what you've seen behind closed doors?
Well, it's more congenial. It's professional, but it is getting a little bit tense. I could tell just by noticing Mr. West and Mr. O'Meara, they were a little bit flustered by the judge's rulings, and it seems that they're complaining that the rules are changing a little bit. What the judge has ordered in previously is now is different, especially with the jurors' questionnaires. They haven't been settled down yet, and they're going to do that June the 6th, but it's tense. It's getting tense.
Well, now, I believe that the one that was really the hardest stretch for them to get was the one where, bringing some of his past in. Now, the part I didn't realize was that he had had other altercations and fights and things like that. I didn't realize that was on record.
They were alleging that, but I don't think with any specificity they've really claimed anything that really happened yet. So it's kind of hearsay, so the judge isn't going to allow it. But if the state attorney opens the door, say, for his propensity for peacefulness, that could allow that type of evidence in.
Okay, folks, if you'd like to participate in the conversation today, you know the phone number. It's 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-8255. And we have Brad on the line, and he would like to ask the first question, for our guest today from a phone caller. So let's go now to Brad before we go to the break. Brad, thank you for calling this afternoon. Your question, please, for Jeff.
Oh, thank you. The Stand Your Ground statute, as it reads, from what I understand, if someone obviously carjacks you and you have no retreat, or in this position, there's an eyewitness that said Trayvon Martin was indeed on top of George Zimmerman, and anyone who watches mixed martial arts knows that that is very bad for the person who's on the bottom.
Ground and pound.
And physical evidence also suggests that, where it's going to be introduced, obviously, the cuts, the bruises, the broken nose. How is Stand Your Ground not applicable if he can't get away from that? That's what I don't understand.
And just let me interject, and he's going to answer your question, Brad, but let me just interject. Have we even gone past that now to where it's no longer relevant?
No, it is relevant, okay. But Stand Your Ground is a pretrial motion, and that's something that's heard outside the presence of a jury. Once the jury's sworn, then you're coming into a self-defense argument. They're similar, but the Stand Your Ground would only apply prior to the trial starting. Now, I don't know if they're going to join in together. I think that's still yet to be determined. But a Stand Your Ground is a pretrial motion. A self-defense argument is during the trial.
Oh, did that clear it up for you, Brett?
Yes, it does. And my final comment would be, I just hope that whatever the judge does, that nothing is going to damn this trial except for the physical evidence that's so crucial to this case. Because as far as I've seen so far, it really does work in George Zimmerman's favor. Forget about what the media is saying. Just the physical evidence is amazing.
Well, I agree, Brad, and that's going to be the biggest problem, I think, of the whole trial is trying to keep this trial inside the courtroom. There's so much going on outside the courthouse that it's a potential problem. One of that came to light today about whether or not they could do a jury view. And the defense was arguing they want to do a jury view and take the jurors to the scene of the crime, the alleged crime. However, what's going to prevent the media from using helicopters and flying overhead and therefore releasing the identity of the jurors? So it's way bigger than the courtroom.
Very problematic.
Was that struck down?
The judge is not going to allow it today. They even suggested getting a bus that was all windows blocked and everything, and just having the jurors in the bus. But I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Then the last suggestion was doing a videotape of the scene.
Okay, folks, so we'll be talking about this a lot more as the hour progresses here this afternoon. That's Jeff Dowdy. He's a prominent criminal defense attorney. We'll be talking about the Zimmerman case, if you would like to call. And also we're going to have Abe Katzman on, and we'll be talking about what's going on a little bit over there in Syria. So you're welcome to call for that as well, 407-774-8255. We'll be back after this short break.
This is Marilee from Vacation Travel Planners, bringing you the travel deals of the week. How about seven-night Canada and New England cruises from $3.99 per person? Welcome to Royal Caribbean's Enchantment of the Seas to Port Canaveral. She's doing 3- and 4-night Bahama cruises starting at $1.99 per person. How about a seven-night European cruise from $3.99 per person on Royal Caribbean? Disney's offering up to 30% off the resorts this summer. Florida residents can get special rates for the spring saving. Alaska cruises from 7 nights from $3.79 per person for an inside or $5.99 per person for a balcony. Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
From his beautiful seaside hometown of Positano, Italy, Chef Pasquale Barber brings his exclusive family recipes to Central Florida and Cafe Positano. Whether you're looking for true Italian pizza and calzone or their mouth-watering special dishes and elegant dining at an affordable price, let Cafe Positano show you why food is not a business, but a passion. Cafe Positano is 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. Call 407-774-8080. Pasquale?
I want to thank you everybody to come to Cafe Positano.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL.
And we are back. That's right, folks. I am Christopher Hart, and along with Lair Adams, we're live with you in the studio this afternoon. Nostra Dennis will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. We have also with us this afternoon Jeff Dowdy, who's a criminal defense attorney, prominent criminal defense attorney here in the Central Florida area. And as soon as Abe comes on the line from Jerusalem, we're going to be going to Abe Katzman, who's our man in Jerusalem. He's a commentator and columnist whose work finds its way all over the publications in Israel and across the ocean and shows up here in places like the Daily Beast and other places in the United States of America. So we'll be talking with Abe about the situation in Syria. There have been some significant developments over the last couple of days. Let me just kind of fill you in while we're waiting on Abe here. First of all, I guess you've probably heard John McCain went over and met face-to-face with the rebel leaders over there. He met with, in particular, a group called the Supreme Military Council of the Free Syrian Army. And what they want, of course, is guns, weapons, and a no-fly zone, if at all possible. Of course, Mr. McCain cannot promise them these things, but he certainly can be, if you will, a go-between, which I presume he is doing for the administration, seeing as how it is not impossible, but it would be a little bit difficult for him to set this all up on his own. He met with these leaders on the Turkish border and then actually crossed into Syria for there were three meetings, two on the Turkish border and one actually inside Syria.
Why isn't John Kerry doing this?
John Kerry, in the meantime, now that you asked that, was in Paris meeting with the French and Russian diplomats, and they are trying to set up a peace meeting with Assad, representatives of the Assad government, in Geneva next month. That would be June. So he's definitely working the angle. I'll have to say this for John Kerry. Buffoon that he is, he at least knows where to focus his time. And he is spending the vast majority of his time right there in the Middle East, going back and forth between Russia, Israel, Egypt, and all the main players. So at least he's got his eye on the ball. Whether he can hit it or not, that's a whole other question. But at least he's more focused than the prior Secretary of State, who was more interested in going around trumpeting women's rights around the world, which, although is a worthy cause...
It's not the only cause.
It's exactly, and that's the way she treated it, and that's why we ended up with a situation as we did in Libya.
And John Kerry also may be the guy that is the spoiler for Hillary Clinton, too.
That's absolutely right.
Or is there chances?
That's right. And also, the other development over the weekend actually happened yesterday in Brussels. The EU, that's the European Union, all got together. There's 27 members. and decided to drop the arms embargo against Syria. That doesn't mean that weapons will be sold to the rebels or given to the rebels, although London and the Paris, the French and the English, would like to do so if they had guarantees that they wouldn't fall into the wrong hands. Now, who can provide such an assurance? I don't know. Maybe State Farm. Is that who the good hands people are? Anyway...
the UN, Chris.
Yeah, right. That's you know, and that's a whole other issue to the Benghazi thing, is that we gave such weapons to rebels to oust Gaddafi, and they ended up in the wrong hands, or we gave them to the wrong people to begin with, is what we are finding out now.
And may have tried to get them back.
Absolutely, absolutely. So there have been some things going on with the Syrian situation. In the meantime, Bashar al-Assad has actually made gains in the last couple of weeks and has solidified his hold over what portions of the country that he now controls. And there was an article in the... can't remember if it was the Financial Times or the Wall Street Journal. I think it was the Wall Street Journal. I do not have it here in front of me. Over the weekend, that said Assad actually has strong support amongst the business community in Syria, and that they are supplying him with money and support. And as long as he has that, he's going to be formidable. And he's going to be a lot harder to get rid of than Gaddafi, even, I believe, if we were to arm the rebels.
And I think the Russians are definitely trying to solidify their support for him.
They do not want him to go away. And that's why they are participating with Kerry in perhaps setting up a meeting in Geneva, you know, where they can all sit down at the table and work.
At the same time, they're sending munitions.
Right, because he has been a staunch ally of theirs. And he is a conduit to Iran and Hezbollah. And, of course, the Russians are notorious for at least wanting to be friends of our enemies to keep us occupied, if you will. So, okay. So that's the situation in Syria. I see we still haven't got Abe on the line yet. And it is, you know, midnight in Syria. Excuse me, in Syria. In Israel.
Almost
in Jerusalem.
12:30.
Yeah, so perhaps something came up or... Abe dozed off. No, I'm just... Maybe I put him to sleep. So I'm going to go and take advantage of the time that we have. And as soon as we get Abe, we'll go to him. But to go back to Jeff Doughty, Jeff, we were just talking about the Zimmerman case. And let me just get into it with you. I want to kind of go down a short list. First of all, what did the defense get? You said that they had, what, some 21 motions that they wanted, things that they wanted to have entered into evidence. Did they get any of them?
They didn't get anything. It was a bad, bad day for the defense. Most importantly, they didn't get the continuance they wanted.
Even after having all of their evidence requests denied, they weren't given a continuance based on, well, we got to go build a whole new case now or something to that effect?
Probably the biggest one that hurt, besides not getting the continuance, was this. They still have to do the deposition of this one state expert who's claiming that he cleaned up the 911 tape, and now he's saying it was Trayvon Martin's voice. And so they haven't deposed him yet. So, I mean, they only got 2 weeks to go.
And he's the one who wants $3,300.
He wants $3,300 just to give his deposition.
Why doesn't the state pay that? Because he's a witness for the state, isn't he?
I totally agree with that. The state should have to pay for it. I mean, he's their expert. He's the one that's going to testify. It's not fair to the defense to say, hey, we can't afford it. You know?
Did Mark O'Mara ask to have his own expert, hire his own expert?
Mark has his own experts, and that particular issue is going to get boiled down to a battle of experts. And it's going to be very technical, and it's going to be a critical part of the trial. Whose voice was it asking for help?
Does this at all appear prejudicial? I mean, I see appeal written all over this if something should go wrong for Zimmerman.
The continuance but denial by the judge probably wouldn't be an appeal issue. However, it could come across as ineffective assistance of counsel if what's called a 3850, because the prior attorney can say, hey, I didn't have enough time. Mark O'Mara says, I didn't have time to prepare. The judge made me go. Zimmerman could use that in the event that he's convicted in the future, alleging that his attorney did not have enough time to prepare. So it is critical to that issue. But these experts have got to be nailed down, and they're on such a short time frame now, it's going to be very difficult to do it.
And how much of a continuance was he asking for?
He never said how much time, but I assume it's probably about 4 to 6 weeks, because he needs time to prepare to rebut this expert, and he hasn't even taken his deposition yet. And it's not fair that it's coming down to a money issue. Whether Zimmerman's a rich man or a poor man, still you have the Constitution. He's entitled to due process, and he's allowed to cross-examine any witnesses that the state has, and he has the right to be fully prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
And by allowing that, you have to pay this amount of money to take his deposition, even talk to him, obviously he's prejudicial.
All right. The defense didn't get anything that they wanted. What did the prosecution get besides this this expert?
The huge victory for the prosecution today was the judge ruling in their favor that the school records, the marijuana use, and these allegations that he had prior fights is not coming into evidence. But if the state opens the door, and that's what the judge said, if the state opens the door, then it could come in. When I say opening the door, I'm saying if the state starts attacking George Zimmerman's testimony that he was, Trayvon Martin was peaceful, he didn't do anything to provoke the fight, what, if they start going down that road, that could possibly open the door for that type of evidence to come in.
So she did not rule it out entirely. She just said that if the it's the prosecution who will or will not open the door as to whether it will be allowed in.
Right. If the judge said if the state attorney opens the door, and that's a legal, common legal terminology amongst us, that if they make a mistake or they somehow they open the door, then that evidence is coming in. And if it comes in, I think it's going to be highly relevant. I think it's relevant anyway, but the judge ruled it's not.
Was there any evidence that the prosecution wanted to enter that the judge denied?
No. The state got basically everything they were asking for.
You know, so if you're on the prosecution team, you're out having
a good day today,
and your smiles. If you're on the defense team, you're back in the office sweating.
Yes, and I could tell Mr. West was a little bit perturbed today, and that's very uncharacteristic of him. I know Don West very well. Now, it's a little bit uncharacteristic that he was complaining that the rules were changing. Well, more specifically, I think there was some issue about the jury questionnaires, that they were supposed to work together on them, and now they're just going to propose each own set.
Well, I want to get to that questionnaire after the break here, but real quickly, you say it's Don West?
Don West.
Don West. He's a little less known. Can you tell us a little about Don West? Who is he? Don, where does he come from?
Don West actually was my mentor. Don's been around probably almost 30 years. He started out at the Seminole County Public Defender's Office. His nickname for a long time was Dr. Death, and the reason he was called that because he did a tremendous amount of death penalty litigation here in Central Florida. He's represented many, many murder cases, many death appeal cases. He's worked at the Federal Defender's Office, and he's known amongst all of us that are death qualified as the eminent man. He's highly qualified.
So Mark O'Meara,
I've always looked up to him.
Mark O'Meara went to the bullpen and got an ace.
It was a brilliant move. Mark O'Meara, you know, I come from his same oak tree, too. Mark taught me also how to do death penalty cases. Mark's very well versed, too. But a few more years, Don West has been there. Don West is the man.
Top notch.
Top notch.
That's it. Again, folks, we are talking about the Zimmerman-Martin case. If you have any questions, give us a call at 407-774-8255. We have Attorney Jeff Dowdy with us, and he's our man right on the scene. And again, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time on News Talk 660 WORL. And Chris, we are live.
This is Marilee from Vacation Travel Planners, bringing you the travel deals of the week. How about seven-night Canada and New England cruises from $399 per person? Welcome to Royal Caribbean's Enchantment of the Seas to Port Canaveral. She's doing 3- and 4-night Bahama cruises starting at $199 per person. How about a seven-night European cruise from $399 per person on Royal Caribbean? Disney's offering up to 30% off the resorts this summer. Florida residents can get special rates for the spring saving. Alaska cruises from 7 nights from $379 per person for an inside or $599 per person for a balcony. Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
Here is your exclusive AccuWeather forecast.
Partly cloudy overnight, the low 70. Partly sunny and breezy Wednesday, a shower, thunderstorm in spots in the afternoon and evening, the high 89. Wednesday night will be partly cloudy, the low 71. And partly sunny and breezy Thursday, a thunderstorm around in the afternoon, the high near 88. I'm meteorologist Jack Boston on News Talk 660 WORL.
Acos the Solutionist here. Join us on My Cool Inventions. Every Saturday, we'll be looking for the next $100 million product invention. Be a part of the action so you can vote for your favorite inventor or hear from experts on how to turn your great product idea into a big brand. Better yet, submit your inventions to Genesis, the Search for America's Top Invention Contest. You could win a $50,000 grand prize package. Go to MyCoolInventions.com or tune in Saturdays from 4 to 6 p.m. on WORL.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
Absolutely, folks. The reason why we have a professional wrestler intro our show is because we are the best in political professional wrestling. And if you don't know what that is, think about it. My name, by the way, is Larry Adams. I almost said your name. My name's Larry Adams. That guy is Christopher Hart. And we have a special guest in the studio with us right now. That's attorney Jeff Dowdy. And Jeff, we were talking about the Zimmerman-Martin case. And again, folks, if you'd like to call in 407-774-8255 and ask Jeff a question. There seems to be a problem with the jury questionnaire. Is that correct?
They have not settled yet the issue about what exactly they're going to be asking the jurors on a questionnaire. And I've had this issue a couple of times. The problem is that when you put a questionnaire in front of a juror, you tend to write down more than what they would actually say in person as far as expressing their opinions. On the other hand, they're kind of comical. I remember one time we had put down on the questionnaire, put your race down, and there was a few people that put down human. so there's some
right on. I kind of like that answer.
It's the truth. You know, so.
It's like an application when they put in sex. Yes.
Okay, so. Some people put down regularly. And I just, so, I mean, there's some levity in it. But there's also some problems. They start writing down opinions, and then what slows it down is that the lawyers start asking, well, did you really mean this? Did you really mean what you just said? And then they back off it, and then you just don't know. But one time we did it, the judge said he would never do it again.
And now I've if anybody who's been registered votes probably been called for jury duty, and I've gone down there a couple of times, and they call you into the courtroom if you make it that far, and they ask you verbally questions.
Right.
Are they going to do the, like, call people in and hand out the questionnaire, or do they get them in the mail along with the jury notice?
It can be done both ways. My experience is they actually get the questionnaires while they're sitting all together, and they just sit by their desk, and then they fill them out.
They fill them out, like, right
yeah.
there.
It's better to do that because you don't want them to sharing the questionnaire with their neighbors and things like that. You know, and that gives them more time to reflect, too.
How long will the lawyers have to review the questionnaires?
That's the problem because, I mean, if you have 200 jurors, let's say you go through 200 jurors a day. I mean, I've done it twice, and what we did, I would have my co-counsel next to me highlighting special things that he might have noticed that you'd want to talk to the jurors about. But it's difficult because it's pretty fast. You know, it's pretty quickly how you do it. The very first thing that they're all going to ask is the economic hardship. Are you going to be able to be in trial for a month? Right away, that erases half your jury.
Mm-hmm.
Right away, because all
more
your,
than half, I would think.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Call your self-employed people; they just can't afford to be out for a month.
Well, now I read or heard a couple of weeks ago now that 500 jury notifications for this trial had been sent out. Is that going to be enough?
Well, they have to have 12 jurors, and I'm thinking of the 500, 250 is not going to be able to serve. So you're down to 250. The next biggest issue is, have you formed an opinion? It's okay if you heard about the case, it's fine. I mean, everybody's going to say 98% or 99% of the people are going to say, yeah, I've heard about the case. But the issue is, have you formed an opinion? That's going to be the problem. And with all the extra things that are going on, I would say most people have formed an opinion one way or another.
Now, would that necessarily preclude you from choosing someone? I mean, because on the one hand, at least they're honest.
Well, that's true. And they're honest. And then you got to go to the point, well, even though you formed an opinion, would that impair your ability to judge the evidence as it comes out from the witness stand, from the evidence that you hear in the courtroom, not from what you hear outside the courtroom, what you hear inside the courtroom? And that you can have people can be candid and say, yes, I can put everything aside. You know, and I can judge what comes on in the courtroom.
Now, I understand that the attorneys have a certain number of say, reject cards?
Right. They're called peremptory challenges, and there is 10 allowed in this case. No, you know what? There's only 6 because this is a second-degree murder. So it's only going to be 6 jurors. So that cuts it down in half. If it's a capital case, there's 12. This is second-degree, so there's only 6. So they're going to get 6 peremptory challenges, but I'm sure the judge is going to give them more. So you also have challenges for cause.
There will only be 6 jurors and possibly, say, 2 alternates who will hear this case?
There might be more than 2 alternates.
But there will be 6 who decide the case.
6 people decide the case.
Okay, one more question about the jury. Then I want to go to our producer, Nostra Dennis, and I'm sure he has some questions for you as well. In the O.J. Simpson case, one of the prosecutors, and I can't remember his first name, but it's a black fella. His last name was Darden.
Chris Darden.
Why couldn't I remember that? Duh. But Chris Darden said, I believe he wrote a book afterwards, but I know I saw him in interviews after the case was over. And matter of fact, I believe some time had passed between the decision and when he said this. But he said that he knew that they had lost that case when the jury was seated. Is the jury going to be as crucial to this case?
Oh, yes. I mean, you could tell. I mean, you can read the jurors somewhat. I remember years ago in the Wesley Snipes trial, we had a jury, and the next day when the jurors came in, there were some people on the jurors that were all done up, and they were just all, like, fixated on Wesley. You know, they were starstruck, and you knew right away Wesley was not going to get convicted of the felonies. There's no way.
And he did not.
He did not.
Okay, let's go now to Nostra Dennis. Nostra Dennis, thank you for joining us this afternoon from headquarters. How be you?
Well, not bad. After a good long weekend, I had a great Memorial Day. I hope all you guys did too.
Boy, I had a lot of fun Sunday night. Folks put together, I think, a real special Memorial Day show. So if you'd like to hear it again, go to iTunes, search American Adversaries, and check it out. Go ahead, Dennis.
If you go to our Facebook page, just type in American Adversaries, you're going to see a great graphic up there. And it reminds me of that movie Attack of the Clones. It's got a picture of all the people who are going to be called as witnesses in the Eric Holder investigating Eric Holder trial. And it's a whole row of Eric Holders raising their hands getting sworn in.
Well, we're going to have a few more witnesses in this case. Your questions for Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff, this has nothing to do with the case right now, but do you know what the status is right now of Zimmerman's case that he's brought against NBC?
I have not heard anything about that. I know a civil suit's been filed, but I've not heard anything.
That would normally progress fairly slowly, wouldn't it?
Oh, that could take a couple of years, at least. I mean, it's civil.
And the timeline for that would have nothing to do with the timeline of this case, would it?
No, they're totally different tracks.
Now that he's brought that up, though, let me ask this first. Does the defense have any input as to what the questions are on the jury questionnaire?
Oh, absolutely. They have to agree because there's no rules that set out that you can have a jury questionnaire. In fact, if the defense objected to it, it most likely wouldn't come in. They're just doing it to try to speed up the process. But once again, my experience is that it slows down the process.
Could this obvious media bias be raised as a question on the questionnaire, or could it play any role in the case at all?
Well, it's going to play a huge role in selecting a jury. They're going to ask them, what news stations do you listen to? What newspapers do you read? What radio shows do you listen to? That's all relevant.
Folks, put down the American Adversaries, and they're going to kick you out the door.
Oh, you're in.
Don't tell the IRS to listen to us either.
You know too much.
Yes. Another question, Dennis.
Yeah. What do you think, Jeff, of the whole idea that a jury of your peers equals 12 people who aren't smart enough to figure out a way to get out of jury duty?
That's what Mark Twain said. You need to find 12 people who don't know anything and can't read.
Especially in this case, I mean, people on both sides, and there are people on both sides, there are very few that are on the fence. That's got to be a real tough job for both sides.
Oh, it's going to be.
Well,
and biased people.
And along those lines, Dennis Lehr raised the issue during one of the breaks, is a change of venue going to be in the course of this trial?
If it was for Casey Anthony, I would think that would be a big possibility in this case.
Right. Well, in the Casey Anthony case, they agreed to it, and Judge Perry, you know, took the initiative for doing that. But the rules say that you have to try to select a jury first. And I've had a change of venue twice, and one time we only did it for 3 days, and the judge just threw up his hands and say, who wants to make the motion? In another case, we were in like day eight, and John Tanner, he was the elected state attorney at that time, said, in the interest of justice, I would agree that we need to move the change of venue. We went up to St. Augustine.
But they at least have to go through the motions.
You've got
to
go through the motions unless they all agree. But you got to at least try. It's possible to get a jury. I mean, it's possible. It's going to be difficult.
Well, plus, I'm sure budget's going to come into this, too, because if they have to, you know, take a jury, go somewhere else, or spend money going somewhere else with experts, et cetera.
The cost is going to be astronomical.
Sure.
In fact, Mark O'Meara mentioned it today. He was asking that the jurors be sequestered during the trial. Just think of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And what did the judge say to that?
She did not. I don't think she ruled on that yet.
She decided, she said,
we'll just wait and see what happens.
You'd have
wait and
to see sequester happens. Them, you'd think.
It's going to be hard not to.
I mean, yeah.
My gosh, you know. Seminole County is not a big county. It's going to be difficult.
And you think that the jurors themselves are going to feel a lot of pressure.
Oh, they're going to feel a tremendous amount of pressure because they have to go home. I mean, this isn't a huge county, you know, and they're going to know when, you know, somebody's gone, their neighbor's gone for 4 to 6 weeks during this, and inevitably they're going to find out, and they're going to be afraid to acquit. They're going to be afraid to vote guilty. It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough on the jurors.
Now, also, the jurors will actually be able to tell people they're serving on the case, but they won't be able to talk about the case. Is that correct?
Unless the judge issues a gag order, yes, because typically you can go home and your wife or your husband can say, you're on a jury. Well, yes, but you can't talk about it.
Right.
You know, you can't talk about it.
And they're not even supposed
to
talk about it amongst themselves.
Right, exactly. They're not even supposed to talk amongst themselves and, you know, how many people are going to come home in Seminole County the week of June 10th and say, yeah, I'm on a jury, but I'm not going to tell you which one.
Jeff, does the fact that it's a second-degree murder case, does that kind of reduce the amount of the stress over all this?
Well, I don't know about the stress. Well, I think it would raise the stress because there's six. You know, it's a lot easier to convince six people of doing something, whether guilty or not guilty, than 12.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's hard to convince 12 people. That's why, like, when you go to a death penalty case in the penalty phase, some states has to be unanimous. You have to have all 12. In the state, it's a preponderance. If you have 7-5 for a death wreck, then the preponderance is to go with the death wreck. Rarely do you get all 12 to agree on a death penalty.
Yeah.
Let me ask this before we go, folks, to the next break. By the way, we're talking with Jeff Dowdy, prominent criminal defense attorney here in Central Florida, who's handled many high-profile cases. Jeff, just real quickly, if you could give our guests an idea of some of the big cases that you've handled, just so they'll know where you're coming from. I know, for instance, you handled Spaziano, the big warlock guy.
I represented Bedsoff a couple of years ago in the warlocks. It's not like you go out bragging about those stuffs, but I've done the Dollar General. I did the Xbox cases. We were involved with Wesley Snipes' accountant. I did a Trayvon Frazier in Sanford. It's a Trayvon case. He was acquitted. You know, Sanford Video News, at Kerr's Wing House in Seminole County.
And actually, you are representing someone who has been deposed in this case.
Yes, I have been. I'm representing somebody who's been deposed, which, you know, speaking of that, I thought was interesting today that one of the issues is whether or not they could depose Shelley Zimmerman. And to come to find out, she's not even on the witness list of either one. I mean, why are we taking up time, you know, deposing Shelley Zimmerman when she's not even on the witness list?
What would she offer to this case?
Nothing. Nothing.
By the way, folks, is George Zimmerman's wife.
Yeah, sorry. It is George Zimmerman's wife. She could offer anything because you have a husband-wife privilege to begin with. Second, she's facing criminal charges, so she's going to invoke the Fifth. But she's not listed as a witness. So it's kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, we're not sure where that's going. Folks, we're the American Adversaries, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart, co-host of the American Adversaries. You know, during the day, I'm a contractor here in Central Florida. That's what I do for work. But what I do on the radio, well, the American Adversaries is my mission. We've got a great audience, and I wanted to take a minute to speak directly to those of you who believe in our mission. We are looking for a select group of category-exclusive sponsors to support this show. There are several different levels of sponsorships, so it can be very affordable, and you'll get great results just like our friend Pasquale from Cafe Positano's. Heck, we'll even name our studio after your business if you want. If you own or run a business in Central Florida and believe in the American Adversary's mission, give me a call to see if you qualify. If you're interested in learning more, my number is 407-435-4613. If I'm on the air when you call, just leave your name and number. I'm Christopher Hart. American Adversaries is my mission. I hope you'll make it part of yours, too.
Yo, it's me. It's me. It's DDP.
Yo, it's me. DDP. Diamond Dallas Page. The king of Honor Big. The master of the diamond cutter. The three-time world champion. And you're listening to the American Adversaries Try Time. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
That's our good friend Diamond Dallas Page. And folks, if you have any kind of back pain or joint pain or anything like that, just have a hard time getting around, try DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga, but it will get you working right. Okay, and you can find that, by the way, at ddpyoga.com. Before I get back to our guest, Jeff Dowdy, real quick, Nostradamus, who's our guest for tomorrow night? The professor again, isn't it?
That will be Dr. John Matusitz from UCF. He's going to be talking about his appearance on Thursday night. He's going to be talking about Islamic terrorism at a what's the name of the place downtown, guys?
I'm going to have to pull that. It's right here. It is Doc's Streetside Grill, the third floor.
That's right.
Doc Street
Hospital downtown, across from Orange Avenue.
Yeah, across Orange Avenue from Orlando Regional Medical Center. Doc Streetside Grill. Be there tomorrow at 6:30 for the presentation on the third floor. It is free, and parking is free as well.
And the food there is good.
Yeah, the food's not bad. That's right.
I'm going to be giving up dinner with Danny McKnight. Tyler and I are going to represent the adversaries down there on Thursday.
Hey, good for you guys. Good for you guys. But we're going to and miss you, but we'll enjoy dinner at Cafe Positano without you.
Yeah.
I'll come back to you in a second, but I want to ask this of Jeff Dowdy. Jeff, one of the reasons why this case is so high profile and so, to me, interesting is because of the politics that surround this case. When this case first broke last year, there were some high-profile members from the quote-unquote civil rights movement, the Reverend Al Not-So-Sharpton and Jess Jackson, who came down here. Should we expect more visits from those fellas?
You know, I think it's inevitable there's going to be, but this is not a civil rights case.
I understand that, but the attorney that the family hired, Ben Crump, has been trying his darndest to make it that.
Well, Mr. Crump made some statements today that, you know, it's civil rights and it's we want justice. I just don't see it as being civil rights. I know I'm in the minority, but it's the law. It's a self-defense law, and whether or not the jury believes Mr. Zimmerman acted in self-defense, that's the issue. The color or the race.
Exactly. I mean, the fact
matter.
That he was wearing a hoodie, some black kid wearing a hoodie, to me that would mean absolutely nothing. And this guy didn't shoot him while they were face-to-face standing up. I mean, it was while he was on the ground, and this is allegedly on top of him.
That's what they say. I mean, so we'll hear it in the courtroom, but I just don't see, and I hope it's not. I don't think Judge Nelson will allow it to be part of the trial.
I understand that it's not going to be within the courtroom doors. But as soon as you go outside those courtroom doors, that's what's going to be hitting you in the face.
Well, you know.
And we have a saying around here that has to do with politics, but I think the same may be said of legal jurisprudence, and that is that perception is reality. And if the perception is that this is such a civil rights case, then the reality is going to have to be, you know, formed to either meet that or deny it. And or to prove it incorrect. And with Ben Crump out there doing that, it seems to me that this just increases the pressure on the outside of the courtroom, which will be forcing itself into the courtroom, if you will.
Unfortunately, you're probably right. I just, you know, as a lawyer, I mean, I've always done my speaking in the courtroom in any type of case. And it's unfortunate that it might be decided outside the courtroom. You know, God help the jurors. I mean, hopefully they will not have to go through that every day, trying to get to the courthouse.
Well, this gentleman has already set it up, Jeff, that if for some reason Zimmerman is found not guilty, it's going to be all the white people on the jury that were racist. And that's the reason why he was found not guilty.
Well, we don't have an all-white jury yet. So
I know, but all the white people on that jury.
Yeah.
You could have two white people on the jury. If he's, it's those two white people, they were racist.
Is there any buzz in the legal community, and I don't know that you would know the answer to this, but if you do, is there any buzz in the legal community as to fears of what may happen were he to be acquitted, Zimmerman?
I think there's fears outside the legal community. I mean, in the legal community, we're all speaking about what's going to happen in the courtroom, whether or not this 404 evidence, extrinsic evidence is going to get in. That's another issue, but all the stuff that goes outside the courtroom kind of frightens us. Because we're not used to this stuff. We're used to doing our battles in the courtroom.
And I'll guarantee you, whatever the decision is, whether Zimmerman is acquitted or whether he's convicted of some lesser charge or whether he's convicted of second-degree murder in its entirety, there will be political commentary on this case.
Oh, I'm sure there will be. I mean, I'm not going to be part of it. I'm a lawyer, and I just try the cases in the courtroom.
Right. Hey, Dennis, any other questions for Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff, just a general question about juries. The jury system is all we've got. It's better than every other system, but it's imperfect at best. From your experience in Seminole, what is more likely for a jury to acquit a guilty person or to convict an innocent person?
I've had a couple of jury trials, murder trials in Seminole County where the person has been acquitted. But my experience, and I have a lot of experience in Seminole County, over 23 years of it, Seminole County jurors are very conservative, very law and order. In my opinion, that bodes well for Mr. Zimmerman, because you want a juror that's law and order. You want successful individuals that respect the law, and they want the law followed. And I think that bodes well for Zimmerman.
In a case like this, does the jury have to be unanimous for a conviction?
It has to be unanimous. It has to be. Every juror has to agree. And that's going to be the difficult part, because I'm afraid that outside pressures are going to get to them.
What if the jury is split 3-3?
We tee it up again, and it will get tried again.
It would be tried again.
This case is not going to settle.
Okay. Dennis, any last questions for Jeff?
No, I think you guys have covered it pretty
okay.
much.
All right, well, that's good, because we're just about out of time. Thank you, Nostra Dennis. We appreciate it, and we'll be talking to you tomorrow.
See ya.
All right, I do want to go to a caller who's been holding. This is Rick. Thank you for calling, and it says that you wouldn't be a good juror, I take it. You formed an opinion.
Well, I formed an opinion on this case already, and I just wondered if it would disqualify me, because in this case, I've the opinion that the mainstream media has been nothing but buffoons.
Well, Rick, that's a great question, because even though you have formed an opinion, let me ask you this. Even though you have formed an opinion, can you set that opinion aside and make a judgment on the guilt or innocence based upon what you hear inside the courtroom and inside the courtroom only?
I don't know. I mean, the media has just been absolutely buffoonish. I don't know if I could set that aside. Now, as far as George Zimmerman, yes. I haven't formed an opinion on him. I'm just saying my opinion on the case is that the media has been acting like total ignoramuses.
Well, I mean, it's all over the place. It's all over the place.
You know? I don't think you'll find any arguments on that around here. I am proud to say, though, that the American adversaries have been careful about this case from the very start. And from the very first day that we first started reporting this, a little over a year ago now, but a year and a couple of months, we took the approach that there was more to the case than just an innocent poor kid being shot down by some racist. And got us some heat from the beginning, but nonetheless, we decided that the facts just didn't lead us down that road. And ever since, I'd like to think that we have been ahead of the game on this one, because we have not jumped to the conclusions.
We weren't swept up in the hysteria.
No, we were not. Jeff Dowdy, I want to thank you for coming down to today and filling us in on what happened today and the particulars of this case as we approach it. June 10th, what actually happens June 10th? That's the big day, isn't it?
Yes, June 10th is when we start. That's when the jurors will start being questioned, and I predict probably by Friday of that week, you'll know if this case is going to stay in Seminole County. And thanks again for having me.
Okay, and Jeff's going to be back on a regular basis as this trial proceeds, so that once again, as I said, we can continue to be proud of our coverage, and we're not going to be the buffoons that Rick was referring to.
Absolutely, but you know what? We can be buffoons every now and then, you know? I'm quite proud of that fact, you know? We work hard at it. Folks, we are the American Adversaries, but we do like to have a good time and at the same time kind of tear certain people up. And we're here Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 o'clock on Sunday nights. You get to put up with us for 3 hours, 5 to 8 o'clock. Have a wonderful evening, everyone.
Night, everybody.